The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazine. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines, and let's get started with this piece from Women's Day. This month's health checklist, 5 little wellness moves to make right now. First, roll up both sleeves. When researchers analyzed data from more than 53,000 people, they found that 12% who were told their blood pressure was normal would be reclassified as having high blood pressure if both arms were measured. So ask the nurse to check your BP on both arms because an artery may be more blocked on one side. Next, ease pain with music. The more that people engage with music, the less pain they feel. A recent study showed researchers believe that when we are absorbed in an activity, like listening to tunes, we're less aware of sensations such as pain. People who picked their music experienced the biggest drop in pain. So make an I Feel Great playlist full of upbeat songs you love and listen anytime you need an instant mood lift. Next, up your kindness superpower. Losing just 1 hour of shut-eye can make a person less motivated to help others, a new study found. So focus on sleep. The area of the brain that enables us to feel empathy can't function at its best without enough Z's. So dim lights and turn off screens, including the TV, an hour before bed to wind down. Try out the gym sauna. People who did 50 minutes of exercise 3 times a week for 8 weeks and sat in a sauna for 15 minutes after each workout improved their cardiorespiratory fitness, blood pressure, and cholesterol more than folks who skipped the sauna. The heat may stress your body in a good way. If you're new to saunas, get your doctor's okay first and start with just a few minutes. And last, consider a heart-healthy diet. Want to lower your risk of events like heart attack or stroke? The dietary approaches to stop hypertension, or DASH, diet might be more effective than other lifestyle changes like exercise, according to a new data analysis. So say yes to veggies, fruits, nuts, grains, and lean meats. Limit sodium, red meat, and sugar. From Real Simple, volunteering to a happy, health, helpful New Year. Lots of families like to give back during the holidays, but the work doesn't stop when the ball drops. Here's how to do more good in 2023 and beyond. A few summers ago, my daughter asked me 2 difficult questions. We were sitting in the warm dirt in our county's community garden with my mother, picking produce that would go to food banks in the area. Why do some people not have enough? She asked as we sorted tomatoes. Why do we have so much? I thought about how to answer. I mean, how do I explain our many broken systems to an 8-year-old? Do I start with a lesson in politics, agriculture, economics? I took a beat and said, there's enough food in the world. It's just not distributed fairly. Some people don't share, so we try to do our part. She accepted the answer, and we went on with our counting and bagging. For many families, volunteering, serving meals, collecting food, gathering clothing, wrapping toys, is a winter tradition, and nonprofits often receive a surge of support during the holidays. I think a lot of people see their privilege. We're getting together with our families around these big tables, or we're getting presents for our friends and family, and we want to make sure other people have that opportunity, says Jennifer Bennett, Director of Education and Training at Volunteer Match, a national nonprofit that connects hopeful helpers with in-need organizations. She adds that nonprofits receive an even bigger surge right after New Year's due to resolutions, before interest peters out in mid-January. It feels extra special, but for people who are using the services those nonprofits provide, that's just a regular old Tuesday, Bennett says. They need the same support and help on a regular day as they do on a holiday. We know that service needs to be a year-round endeavor, but it can be hard to consistently work volunteering into our busy lives. It can seem like yet another chore to add to a jam-packed schedule, particularly for those with children, says Allison Russell, Ph.D., assistant professor in the Public and Nonprofit Management Program at the University of Texas at Dallas. If you make the time, though, the effort pays off. Research has demonstrated that young people who get involved in volunteering may be more civically involved as adults, Russell says. So how can families help out in a way that matters and stay committed? Think about what's important to you. Food, making it, eating it, sharing it, happens to be central to my family. So that's where we focus our interests, our efforts. Whatever your family's interests, animal rights, the housing crisis, environmental concerns, chances are someone has started doing the work. Tap into local networks like nonprofits, faith institutions, and governmental organizations and learn where your talents are most needed. Some people want to go out and put boxes together and deliver them to people. Some people are really good at organizing or accounting and want to use those professional levels to help skill levels to help a nonprofit, Bennett says. The stuff that happens behind the scenes is just as important. Look where you live. Raki Mershandani from Hoboken, New Jersey, a small but dense city on the Hudson River, says her family's charitable work is linked to the place they call home and to the sick pillar of Siva, selfless, love-inspired service. Mershandani and her family help others in all sorts of ways. They make sandwiches for people experiencing homelessness and often initiate beach cleanups along the New Jersey shoreline. Satya, Mirshandani's daughter, found her own calling during the early days of the pandemic. The family lives directly across from a senior housing building. Our windows look into each other, Mirshandani says. We had a conversation about the folks there, and it clicked for her. She understood that they were people's grandparents and that they needed to get supplies and groceries without risking their lives. She realized we could deliver those items and help in a meaningful way. Satya, now a third grader, remains involved in senior issues. She's written stories and held online story times to raise money for the center, Mershandani says. Be realistic about how much time you can give. COVID also gave Julie Switert Collazo and her three children an opportunity to help in their area. Getting involved with our community fridges became the focal point for us, she says. Every Friday, we'd pick up surplus food from a corporate cafeteria. We'd clean the fridges and make sure they were all organized. Switert Collazo and her family were able to keep up with their work because it was a manageable task they were committed to. They moved to Mexico City this past summer and are exploring volunteer opportunities, including a community fridge program, in their new home. Biting off more than you can chew, on the other hand, isn't helpful to anyone, especially if you sign up to do something and then don't follow through. The best amount of time to volunteer is whatever amount of time works for your schedule, Bennett says. So if an hour a week is something you can do, that's amazing. If it's one afternoon a quarter, that's also amazing. And leave your ego out of it. Charitable work isn't about you, and other people don't exist to make you feel good. Evelyn Shoup, a parent of three in Portland, Oregon, is guided by a simple principle. Giving, not out of a sense of our abundance and someone else's scarcity, or a kind of saviorism, but just giving, she says. Shoup and her family donate hand-me-downs to their school district's clothes closet, and she tries to have a few dollars on hand to give people in her community without judgment about the merit, she says. Her second grader once questioned her for not giving money to a man standing on the side of the freeway. She has this sense of justice, and she's seen me give, so she feels empowered to ask that, Shoup says proudly. Now that my daughter is almost 11, her world is much bigger, and she has even more questions. We continue to talk and to contribute to our community as much as we can. We make regular grocery runs for our local food banks, We prepare and serve meals in a community kitchen. And when the weather thaws each year, we return to the garden. I worry sometimes about the weight of our conversations, but I think the heaviness is counterbalanced by the feeling of empowerment that working with others to solve problems can provide. It's something to know we can do something. It's comforting to know we can do something to help. We can chip away. We can do our part. From Good Housekeeping, the Seal Spotlight Super Grime Busters. These genius products, all tested by the Good Housekeeping Cleaning Lab, are the spot-on solutions to your toughest cleaning challenges. First, Wood Floor Wonder. Finished hardwood is fairly easy to care for, but does need some TLC to stay looking its best. Swiffer's Wet Jet Wood Starter Kit is a complete system that includes a spray mop, disposable pads, a bottle of solution for finished hardwood floors, and batteries. Simply install the batteries and snap on the cleaner and a pad, and you're ready to go. The absorbent pad traps dirt, scrubs away stuck-on grime, and eliminates the need to rinse. Headlights on the mop head make it easy to spot messes, too. Lab results? In Good Housekeeping cleaning lab tests, the Swiffer system proved very easy to use and neater to store than a regular mop. It did an amazing job dissolving a sticky gelatin mixture on our test wood flooring panels in just a few passes and left the wood dry enough that we could skip buffing. It's the Swiffer Wet Jet Wood Starter Kit, $26. On-the-go Spot Zapper. Sudden stains are no longer cause for alarm when you're armed with the Tide to Go Instant Stain Remover Pen. This portable miracle worker removes fresh food and drink messes on clothing before they set and become permanent stains, no matter where you are. It's easy to tuck into your purse, car, backpack, or desk drawer. Lab results? Our experts were impressed that the Tide to Go pen was safe to use on many types and colors of fabric, though it's always best to test it on a hidden area before using. We found it most effective on fresh liquid stains. It lifted coffee, cola, and wine from our test swatches with ease. This slim, handy pen didn't leave rings or leave our fabrics overly wet. It's the Tide to Go pen, $8 for three at Target. And stunning silver wipes. Clean and polish your silver quickly and neatly with Wyman's convenient pre-moistened wipes. Safe to use on sterling silver and silver plate. They remove tarnish from flatware, serving items, and jewelry, even pieces with gemstones, thanks to an ammonia-free formula. The small canister is easy to store, and the mild non-scratch wipes are amply sized to rejuvenate and help protect even large items. Lab results? In tests, the wipes easily restored the shine to our very heavily tarnished pieces of silver flatware and jewelry, and a silver-plated tray without the mess other polishes can make. After we rinsed and buffed as directed, our pieces were protected with a tarnish-resistant finish. Bonus, they're also great to use on gold, brass, copper, and aluminum. It's the Wyman Silver Wipes, W-E-I-M-A-N, $9 for 20 at Wyman.com, W-E-I-M-A-N.com. And from Real Simple settles it. Should you ask your guests to take off their shoes? We asked on Instagram, and more than 60% of the commenters have their guests remove their shoes. Everyone's got an opinion. We collected yours, then asked experts to settle the debate once and for all. So here are some sent in Instagram comments. Absolutely. I don't have to ask. They know better than to leave them on. I have a basket by the door with disposable blue covers for shoes. Some people never come back, and that's okay. Yes, yes, yes. If they don't comply, I let my little kids ask them incessantly why they have left their shoes on. And under the cringe no category, I find it rude to ask people to remove their shoes. We have dogs, so we're obviously cleaning our floors a lot, and what's a little more cleaning? People usually wipe their shoes, though. No, I think it's weird. I've been to parties where they make you do so, and it's strange seeing bare feet and socks. Shoes are part of my look. And some people's feet are dirtier than their shoes. The verdict. You should institute a no-shoes policy. Plenty of cultures around the world have been doing it forever, and they're on to something. Keeping your kicks on is a good way to spread germs around the house, says Charles Gerba, Ph.D., professor of virology at the University of Arizona. He conducted a small study and found fecal bacteria on about 90% of people's shoes. Oh, and don't get us started on pesticides and other chemicals. After the first five steps, the contamination lessens, Gerba says, but still, blah. For concerned pup owners, a 2021 Utrecht University study showed that the paws of assistance dogs were cleaner than the shoes of their people. Going unshod is better for floors, too. Carpets get grody fast. And though hardwood is durable, particles can scratch it and high heels can leave marks, says Brett Miller, a vice president at the National Wood Flooring Association. Which brings us to party time. Visitors may want to keep footwear on because it's part of their ensemble, or they may struggle with walking in bare feet. As a host, you should put others at ease, says Elaine Swan, etiquette expert and founder of the Swan School of Protocol. If guests aren't prepared to take off their shoes, it might make them uncomfortable, and we don't want that. Have a bench near the door and a place to store footwear. Since guests' biggest concerns about taking off shoes are likely comfort and self-consciousness, maybe they haven't had a pedicure in a while, load up on slippers or socks from the dollar store and let guests keep them. Or relax your rules only when hosting and give the floors a very good scrub when the party's over. From Real Simple, the power of less. Bed and bath linens. Get and keep those towering stacks of sheets and towels in check. When it comes to your linen closet, don't be so quick to throw in the towel. If you've got a mound or many mounds of mismatched sheets and impossibly old washcloths, take action. Even if your shelves are neatly stacked, there are probably still some items in there you could live without. Here's how to pare down your bed and bath stuff. First, commit to an annual clean-out. Once a year, remove everything and inspect it, says Tamar Bazin, owner of the New York City-based organizing company Tidy Living. Yes, every single thing. Because how else do you know what you have, she asks. Recycle towels that are seriously frayed or have a funky odor that detergent can't eliminate, says Julie Bestry, a certified professional organizer in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Replace sheet sets when they're ratty or the elastic in the fitted sheet is stretched out. If you don't know when to say goodbye, ask yourself, does this still look nice? Is this cozy or does it feel like snuggling up to sandpaper? Is this useful? If you can't part with something, give yourself a year. If you haven't used it by the next time you do a clean out, let it go, Bazin says. Refold what you're keeping. The hardest part of adulting on laundry day? Folding the fitted sheets. If you need a tutorial or a refresher, we have a great video. Go to realsimple.com/howtofold. That'll turn you into a pro grown-up. Refold all your fitted sheets so they're roughly the same size and sort each one with its top sheet and pillowcases. Then, when things get wacky, carefully stuff the set into one of the pillowcases to create an easy-to-stack bundle. Next, roll your towels instead of folding them. They'll take up less space that way. Categorize everything. Divide items into categories and save yourself from the dreaded hunt for the good towels anytime you have house guests. Frequently used towels and sheets should sit on shelves around eye level for easy access. Rarely used pieces, such as spare comforters, holiday bedding, and beach blankets, can be stored in harder-to-reach areas, like the top or very bottom of your closet. Also, get into the habit of putting freshly washed items under or behind the ones already in the closet. Bestry says, this rotation will help your items wear more evenly. If your linen closet doubles as storage for your clothes iron, extra toiletries, and other miscellany, keep a few bins on the top shelf or on the floor to neatly contain everything. And resist the urge to overbuy. With all that newfound space, it can be tempting to buy more stuff than you'll use. Take a beat. At the Environmental Protection Agency's last count, more than 11 million tons of textiles went to landfills. That includes clothing and other items, but still. All you really need is two sets of sheets per bed, maybe three, Bestry says. I like to think of it as wash and wear and one to spare. After you strip your bed, you don't want to rush to complete your laundry the same day, and it's good to have an extra set just in case, she says. There's more to consider when it comes to towel needs, like how often you do laundry, how frequently you swap in fresh towels, and the types of towels each person uses at a time. Keep a minimum of two towels per person, plus assorted hand towels and washcloths, Bestry says. And waste not. Lots of organizations are making it easier to recycle textiles. You can buy a zero-waste box from TerraCycle, which accepts items in any condition. If your linens are in good shape and you have full sets, donate them to a shelter or Goodwill, says Robin Reynolds, a certified professional organizer and owner of Organize to Harmonize in Los Angeles. Or try turning your old sheets into picnic blankets, napkins, cleaning rags, or even eco-friendly gift wrap if you're feeling crafty. Towels and blankets that look the worst for wear can often be donated to animal shelters or veterinary clinics to lie in kennels and give pets something soft to cuddle. Call ahead to make sure donations are accepted. If all else fails, reach out to local share groups on social media. I live on the Buy Nothing groups on Facebook, and I can attest that people will take the most random things, Reynolds said. And now a couple recipes for you. First, creamy tomato tortellini soup. Active time. This is from Woman's Day. In fact, they all are. Active time is 20 minutes. Total time, 25, and serves 6. We need 1 tablespoon unsalted butter, 1 small onion chopped, 4 cloves garlic finely chopped, 1 tablespoon Italian seasoning, 1/2 teaspoon red pepper flakes, 3 tablespoons tomato paste, 3 tablespoons all-purpose flour, 3 cups low-sodium vegetable broth, 1 28-ounce can diced tomatoes, 1 pound of cheese tortellini, 1/3 of a cup of heavy cream, 1/2 cup grated Parmesan cheese, 4 cups baby spinach, kosher salt and pepper, thinly sliced basil for serving, and that one's optional. Melt the butter in a large pot on medium. Add onion and saute until tender, 6 minutes. Stir in garlic, Italian seasoning, and red pepper flakes, and cook 1 minute. Stir in tomato paste and cook until darkened slightly, 2 to 3 minutes. Sprinkle with flour and cook 1 minute. Stir in broth, then tomatoes and tortellini, and bring to a boil. Reduce heat and simmer until tortellini are tender, 3 to 5 minutes. Stir in cream, Parmesan, and spinach. Season with 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Serve topped with basil if desired. Tomato basil spaghetti. Active and total time are both 20 minutes and it serves 4. 12 ounces of spaghetti, 2 cloves garlic thinly sliced, 1 small red onion thinly sliced, 1 lemon, 4 strips of zest thinly sliced, plus 2 tablespoons lemon juice, 1/2 cup of dry white wine, 2 tablespoons olive oil, kosher salt and pepper, 1 1/2 pints mixed color cherry or grape tomatoes, halved, 1/2 cup parsley leaves, roughly chopped, 1 cup basil leaves, roughly chopped, and grated Parmesan for serving. In a large skillet or Dutch oven, place spaghetti flat on the bottom and add garlic, onion, lemon juice, wine, oil, 4 cups water, 3/4 teaspoon salt, and 1/2 teaspoon pepper. Bring to a boil and boil gently, stirring frequently, 5 minutes. Fold in tomatoes and continue to boil gently until pasta is al dente and nearly all liquid has been absorbed. Absorption will then continue. Stir in lemon zest and parsley, then fold in the basil. Serve with grated Parmesan if desired. Balsamic glazed pork chops with spinach potato mash. Active and total time are both 30 minutes, and it serves four. We need a pound of Yukon Gold potatoes, scrubbed and cut into 2-inch pieces, kosher salt and pepper, 1 5-ounce package of baby spinach, 4 tablespoons unsalted butter, melted, that's half a stick, 2 tablespoons brown sugar, 1 tablespoon balsamic vinegar, 4 bone-in pork chops, each about 1 inch thick, and chopped chives for serving. Heat broiler. Place potatoes in a large pot. Add enough cold water to cover and bring to a boil. Add 1 tablespoon salt. Reduce heat and simmer until very tender, 15 to 18 minutes. Drain. Return potatoes to the pot. Fold in spinach and mash with melted butter. Meanwhile, in a small bowl, combine sugar, vinegar, and a half teaspoon each salt and pepper. On a rimmed baking sheet, brush vinegar mixture all over pork and broil until instant read thermometer registers 145 degrees, about 4 minutes per side. Serve with spinach potato mash and sprinkle with chives if desired. And one last one, the roasted Mediterranean shrimp bowl. Active in total time, 20 minutes, and it serves four. We need 1 cup orzo, 2 pints grape tomatoes, 4 cloves garlic sliced, 1 tablespoon capers chopped, 2 tablespoons olive oil divided, kosher salt and pepper, 1 pound peeled and deveined large shrimp, 1/2 teaspoon dried oregano, 1/4 cup chopped parsley, pickled red onions, cracked green olives, Greek yogurt, and lemon wedges for serving. Heat oven to 400 degrees. Cook the orzo per package directions. In shallow 2-quart baking dish, toss tomatoes, garlic, and capers with 1 tablespoon oil and 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Roast for 6 minutes. In a medium bowl, toss the shrimp with the remaining tablespoon of oil, then oregano and 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Nestle among tomatoes and roast until opaque throughout, 5 to 7 minutes more. Toss with parsley. Serve over orzo and top with pickled red onions, olives, and yogurt. Serve with lemon wedges if desired. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazine. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Ladies Magazine is available as a podcast on our website, www.ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.